Welcome and thank you to all that are listening today. You have reached a podcast called Reach Out. I am your host, Artis. I'm actually home today because of this situation we got with the air quality, that Canada has some forest fires, that the smoke's coming over here. It's new to me, but man, has it been such a dense day today, because it's like the air quality outside today is real bad. All right, so that's one of the reasons why I'm in the house. All right, my name is Artis. I'm your host. All right, I like to share my 34 years of being clean and sober. All right, you do not have to be an alcoholic or an addict to listen to this program. All right, and as I say, as I keep communicating with you guys, as I get better, we all get better together, one day at a time. It's just a way, another way of letting people know that you're not by yourself, and to build self-confidence so you can try the things that you always wanted to put off, right? Our biggest problems are ourselves, learning how to get out of our ways, all right? I apologize if you hear any distraction or any noise. I'm in my apartment, and of course, above me, they're fixing the apartment up next. So far, every time where I try to find a proper place to record and do my video, it seems that I always either had to be outside or in my house. You know, these things happen until I find a better location. So I apologize up front, right? So I hope everybody can hear me clearly, all right? Yesterday I talked about kindness, all right? And some kindness worked out for me today, which I'm grateful, because the gentleman that scratched my car with a pipe as he was working wound up paying me for the damage. And how many of us can say that people would ever be that responsible, especially when they know they're wrong, right? So I like to give that credit to me changing my attitude and how I conducted myself through the transaction, right? I didn't use old tactics like I did, just get upset and want to curse somebody out. You know, I was very businesslike, very respectful to the person, and he was very forthcoming. And today he paid me, which I'm grateful that he did, so I can get it done. It's crazy for the scratch that happened and how much these people want to charge to fix it. You know, that's how they, you know, some people make their money. All right. But one thing took care of another, and it put me in a better light. And I like to share that with people to let them know that's what I'm talking about, change and how we carry ourselves and how we conduct ourselves today. Right. It makes things just a little nicer. Right, just being a little nicer, conduct your business, right? Just as well if it was my fault, right? That's being responsible, right? This gentleman was ace on the money. He was responsible, he was respectful, and he did what he said. I didn't have to go through any hoops and all that stuff, so I'm very grateful, and I thank him for that, right? That thing. Too bad it's not like that all the time in society alone, right? But these things happen, all right? There's a lot of stuff on my mind, right? But I'm going to try to keep it simple, because I'm a complicated guy. Because every day when I want to speak something or what I want to express to you guys, there's always something else come up. So I'm going right off the cuff. I'm going to go with whatever happened and what's going on today, right? I'm in the house, right? Not bad. It's just the fact that, you know, health is important. And it's real nasty outside. So anybody, you know, I know this is being a recording, and people probably listen to it later or whatever, but I still had to stress and say, please be careful going outside, and especially if you have respiratory problems. Be careful, you know, check on elderly people. If you know any older people, you know, check on them, bro. Make sure they're okay. You know, just a phone call, just knowing that they know somebody else is out there. All right, something that simple and going on, all right? What goodies can I share with you guys today, all right? I'm gonna tell you a story, and this is a story, it's my story, you know, about my beginning, all right? Everything you hear today is from my experience, all right? And the way I see it, there's always gonna be other people have their perspectives on it, but this is the way I seen it and what I went through, all right? I had my first drink of anything, and I think it was alcohol. I don't think it was alcohol, because my parents used to have gatherings at the house with their friends, mainly my father. My mother participated. You could tell she only participated because that was her man, right? But she was there. And they used to invite people over, and they used to sit at the house, and they used to have drinks and whatever they drink. You know, the fun part was that after they finish and they start leaving, and they go, and me calling myself cleaning up after they leave, you know, I sit on what was ever left over. And I didn't know. I mean, I was only 8, or what a buzz, or whatever, a high, or whatever. I just knew after I sipped, and I mean, I sipped. So some of the glasses was kind of almost half, you know, half full. And when I drank it, man, that feeling that I felt, I put it to you this way. After I drank it, right, I ran outside to go play with my friends, and I was never tired. I had extra energy. I mean, I was jumping over fences, you know, 8 years old. That's how much of a booster I had. And then after I tired myself down, I had to come home. And my parents never knew that. They never knew. They never knew. All they knew is that the stuff was cleaned up. And I guess they assumed that we just poured the stuff in the sink. Because I was never questioned, you know, if I ever took a drink or anything like that. Or, you know, I just know that I used to love when people used to come over. And then when they used to come over, you know, I just go drink whatever was in the glass. It was just that simple. That was my first experience with alcohol. All right? I didn't like cigarettes or smoking because I remember trying that and it choked me. So that wasn't like a likable thing. But I remember that feeling of that taste. And it was nasty too. I mean, it was nasty. Whatever they drink. I don't know if it was scotch or bourbon. I don't know. I really don't know. I just knew it went down nasty, but it made me feel good. That's when I was about 8 years old. All right? So that, I can say, it was probably my first time. Oh, and I used to go, every time my father used to come home from work, I used to love running to the refrigerator to get him a can of beer, which that time it was Schlitz malt liquor beer. Maybe some of you guys probably didn't even heard of it, but that's what it was called, Schlitz malt liquor beer. And I remember every time, I used to love when he asked, tell me to go get him a can of beer, because it got to the point where he would let me open it and he would let me take a sip. Right, sometimes he let me take two sips, right, and then he'll just drink the rest, right, and then he'll look at me and say, "He said you're becoming a young man now," and I was like, "Okay, if that's what it takes," I was like, "I don't know, Dad. I just know one thing though, it tastes good, you know." And I sit there with two sips, and trust me, bro, it was a buzz for me. That was two sips was good enough for me, especially that age, right? And then I go play, okay. From 8, now I'm going on to about. I'm jumping, guys, so, you know, I'm going on to where I went to the home. And I think I expressed this to with you guys before. In 1973, my mother had a nervous breakdown, and she couldn't take care of us anymore. So she had to go to the hospital to take care of herself. And my brothers and sisters and I went to a place called St. Agatha Home for Children. And at this time, I was just getting ready to turn 13, right? And now, mind you now, at my young age at this time, very protective. If I don't know you, you can't just come up to my, like walk up to me or to my brothers and sisters. I was very protected because that's how I was raised. I had to look out for them, right? So my experience at this time being in the home was the first time in my life because I was just becoming a teenager, right? So there was no restrictions on me now. You know, the mommy wasn't around, so I had counselors I had to deal with. They were counselors. They wasn't parents. These guys' whole job was to make sure we didn't kill each other or burn the place down. That was their job, right? They wasn't there to teach us how to be a man, how to grow up. They got paid to make sure that the cottage ran however it ran. That's how it was, right? Now I'm a teenager, and I'm getting an allowance. So what we used to do as teenagers when we used to get our allowance, we used to put, I said it was about $15 every Friday. So we go get about 10 kids, maybe 10, 12 kids. The more, the better, right? Because at this time, they had what they call Mad Dog 2020 and Wild Irish Rose. And these are all the cheap ones. These are all the dollar liquors, right? They only cost like a buck. You know, those are like the wino drinks, but they were cheap. So, you know, you got a bunch of kids put their money together and come up to about $50, bro. That's like you could buy like $40 worth of liquor, maybe a couple of cans of beer or whatever, or 45s of beers, right? And everybody had their weed or whatever they smoked. That was the game plan. Every Friday, right? We get allowance, we all get together, whoever was in the group, and you get the older kid to go into the store. The kid had to be like 21, 18, 21, usually 21. Because where I lived at, you get ID'd, right? So you go in there, we give him $10, and he buys all the stuff. And then we all gather together, and we go meet somewhere. And then we sit out there and get drunk. Get drunk, smoke, whatever. Whatever we did, because we was teenagers, right? But we had a wonderful time. At least that's in our heads. It was a wonderful time, right? And then after that, we'll go back to our cottages, and we'll eat, right? And then after we eat, we go to the teen center. And the teen center was a place on the home where most of the teenagers go hang out and they dance and, you know, you meet girls. And that was a game thing, you know. You go talk to girls and, you know, especially if you was too drunk, you know you ain't going to talk to no girls because you couldn't hold your liquor. You're probably throwing up somewhere. But basically, that was the routine up there, especially for us as teenagers, right? So that's why I always say I progressed in my understanding of drugs and alcohol, right? I really didn't like to drink because every time I used to drink, the room would spin. You know, I couldn't really hold my liquor, you know, but I just do it because I was at a party or I was with somebody else. You know, I was one of those type of people that I would do it because you did it. You know, I was kind of a follower at that time, you know, and I didn't want nobody to think that I was less than or punk. That was how naive I was, but yeah, right? And somebody would come up sometimes and they have speed or acid or blotter. You know, I hung around a lot of white kids when I was up there. So they used to have these things on a blotter, you know, trust. And I didn't know what the freak was, but I would take it, right? And because everybody else would do it, so I would do it. And you trip out on whatever you tripped out on these things, you know. It was like experiment, you know. At that time in my life, I was like a volunteer to spend because we all did it. So that's why we did it, right? Marijuana was always easy to get because I played sports and people used to give it to me just to be my friends, you know, so that was easy. Alcohol, I really didn't like, you know, but it was the cheapest thing we could get. Like I said, when we went to liquor, it was like a dollar, you know, but that stuff really light you up, but that's what it was. And I didn't like the after feeling and after you did it. I didn't like that kind of feeling. Because, like I said, the room would spin or, you know, I didn't like anything with that much control. That I had no control, you know, so I wasn't favorable in drinking. But a lot of people I know were. And a lot of people I know freaking out-drink me for sure. So I wouldn't even try to attempt that. But we were, once again, we were teenagers, right? Anybody that was a teenager today, you know, you can identify what I'm talking about, right? It was all fun. Everything in life when you're a teenager is fun. Right, there's no responsibility but yourself. That's why we're not bad people, right? We're just people that we do anything to get outside of ourselves, right? Because nobody ever talked about what got them to where they're at or why we're there, nor was it important to say why they were there. What was important is not to feel, all right? That was important, not to feel why you were there or not to bring yourself or anybody else down to talk about it, right? So this is our way of acting out. And the counselors knew that, right? But as long as we did it off the grounds, they didn't care, right? As long as you don't bring it back to the cottage, you're fine. They wouldn't allow it in the cottage because they had younger kids around, which I understood. But at the same time, being a teenager, we try to sneak it. You know, we try to sneak it. Some days you get caught, some days you don't, right? That's like anything else, right? But it was fun. Honestly, it was fun. Right, that's the progression of any mood or mind altering chemicals. Right, there is a time when you think it was fun, it was pleasurable fun. It started out as fun hanging out with your friends, doing it, and then it start progress if it starts taking over your life, right? To where some people had to do it every day because that's the only way they could cope, all right? Or some people did it, right, because they didn't like to cope, they wanted to cope out. Right, there's always a certain way or a certain reason why people do what they do, or the choices we make, right? And the beginning, you know, it was fantastically enjoyable, right? But I might have missed it because I know a lot of people's lives went off course, you know, because a lot of people started missing, you know, as the time that I spent there, I didn't see them as often as I used to. And then that rumor has it later that they got kicked out for whatever reason. Because at this time when you was in St. Agatha, right, you can stay until your 21st birthday if you was going to school or almost graduate high school and going to college. They will let you say that. But if you wasn't, they'd usually kick you out by the time you're 18. You know, they play that role. They're like, okay, you're 18 now, you're grown, you don't want to follow the rules, then you got to go. And they did not play. Trust me. I experienced that too. Because you come back home and all of a sudden all your bags are on the porch. And they give you a bus ticket and the $20. And one bus ticket to go back to New York, and most of the kids from New York City, right? And $20, and then you go back to whatever you have to do. That's how serious they were, all right? But at this time, for me, I say 1976 to 1979, man, it was like, oh my God. It was like party. We used to watch this show called Benny Hill. And for a lot of you younger kids, most of the older people would know. But Benny Hill was this comedian from London that was just, for some reason, when you smoked a joint and you watched this guy, you identified because of his skits. He was very funny in whatever skits he did, but it was more funny when you was high. That's all I could tell you. And we used to sit in my room, watch Benny Hill, Cheech and Chong movies, which became very famous later for marijuana and pot, right? Anything, I mean, it was just the way that they illustrated, right, the fun of smoking herb and hanging out, right? That was the whole projection. And it was almost like a normal capacity, right? Cocaine and all that stuff didn't exist at this time because, first of all, it was too expensive, right? And nobody I knew had that kind of money because that's how expensive it was. I didn't know anything about crack and stuff like that until later on in life, right? And I didn't know the different versions of it. But, you know, as I talk about my story, you'll see, because it's very important that you hear the progression of how things progressed and how my life got so intertwined and the choices I made, of why I made the choices I made, right? It's easier for me to talk about it now because, as far as I'm concerned, they're over, but I live it every day in my head. But I'm not living that way. So that's why I have no problems talking about it. All right. Because the goal for me is for you guys, when you hear my story, right, you'll never want to use drugs if you listen to it clearly. And if you are using, you'll realize why you should stop. And you should stop now before you waste too much time. You already wasted enough time because you're never going to have enough money. Right. You're always going to, the only thing you're going to lose really is time and people in your life, and then the part of rebuilding it back. Those are hard structures. Those are hard detours, right? So my thing is that I know me playing sports saved me from a lot of mischief, because the people that I know, they were not bad people, man. They were just young. And we was all young and dumb, thinking we knew what was going on. But they all had their own identity. But they liked me because I represented something. I put, like, St. Agatha on the map because of me playing ball. And I didn't even realize it because I used to get a lot of good write-ups. So if I got good write-ups, St. Agatha sounds good. So people used to look at it like that, right? And the reason why I gravitate to sports so much is because I was always a team player. You know, I was always, I don't mind, I could work, like, no matter, even when put in groups, like in classrooms, I was always good in groups. And I always knew how to work together with someone. That's what I'm saying. And basketball was not like an individual game. You can be the best individual, fine, right? But you know you can't do jack without other people helping you, your teammates. And that's what I was good at. And that's what I loved. And besides, I mean, I loved it so much that in my room, that I had my own room, I had nets up on the wall, right? Looked like fish nets when I cut it out. Well, they call it a black light, but when you cut it off, the whole room is like a blue, right? And I had basketball in nets. I had basketballs under my bed. I had basketball. I had like over 100 basketballs. You know, basketballs that people gave to me through the courses of games that I won, and basketballs that I purchased. I was like that in tune to it. You know, I said, no matter, the only way you knew who I was, because you see me with a basketball. I'll put it to you that way. That's how you knew who I was, because I always had a basketball. I don't care where I was going, I had a basketball more than I had the books underneath my hand. All right, if you ever wanted to find me, you'll find me in the gym, whether it was in the high school gym or it was in the gym at St. Agatha. That's what I'm saying, right? I couldn't smoke cigarettes. I tried, but I just didn't like the taste. But if I drank, I smoke. Because for some reason, alcohol and cigarettes went together. I don't know why, but it did. Right? But I really didn't like it. But I only did it because I seen other people do it. But I had, you know, I'm playing sports. So I need my oxygen. So that would, I couldn't. I never smoked during the season. I always smoked, like, in the summers. You know, off season if I did. And I had coaches come up to me and tell me that I told him you need to stop smoking the herb or whatever. I heard them, and trust me, I heard them, but it went through one ear and went out the other. Believe that, right? Because I wasn't going to put down the marijuana. You know, the cigarettes, no problem, right? The alcohol, yeah, because I don't like it anyway. But at that time in my life, you know, I was having fun, right? I was having fun. And I was meeting a lot of women, you know, which it came with the package, right? You gotta remember, I'm 16, 17, 18, right? I got a big head. Women thought I was cute, or girls, they thought I was cute. I never had a girlfriend because I never wanted to hurt the other person, because that's exactly what would happen. That's why I never had a girlfriend, right? Because I knew that I didn't want to be responsible to somebody else, right? And I knew me. I knew me. And I was, that time in my life, I didn't know how to keep it in my pants. I was too busy going to each girl. So instead of having somebody mad at me, I'd tell them straight out how it was, right? And they didn't mind because I got honest, right? Now, it couldn't work for everybody like that. And not that it made me any better of a person, but I didn't know how to be in a relationship, right? Because I was too busy in a relationship with myself, right? Learning the stuff and liking the stuff I did, right? And the good thing about it, I didn't have to go through the lies. Because one of the things I learned is if you tell them the truth the first time, then they know they make choices. But in high school, yes, probably the best time of my life. You know, it never affected me, my abilities. It never slowed me down. A couple of times I did try to play after smoking reefer. That never happened again because I got paranoid. You know, I remember the coach grabbed me by my shirt one time, asking me, what the hell's going on? And I mean, my eyes was cherry red, bro. And what I just, all I said is that I gotta go to the bathroom. And I went into the bathroom and I just drank some I think that's some orange fluid stuff that we used to drink on the bench. And I drank some of that and I peed as much as I can. And I ran back out. I thought I was back there like 10, maybe 5-10 minutes. But I was back there for almost a half an hour because somebody had to come back there and get me. But I had to try my best to get this stuff out of me, and that's the only way I know how to do it, pee it out. So I come back, I play, we won the game. You know, everything was fine after that. I never did it again. I did it twice, but I never did it again after that. Even when I played for St. Agatha. What happened was that somebody seen me before the game and hooked me up with an ounce of herb, and so I decided to smoke a joint before I got ready. That's what happened, right? Teenager's thought mentality, that's all. Or when I used to go to I had to take this program called BOCES, and BOCES was like it teaches you how to auto mechanics. I took auto mechanics classes, and the kids in my class, you know, they were all potheads, what we call potheads, right? And I mean, they were potheads. Each one of them had like a half ounce or ounce in their pocket that they get. I don't know where they get it, but they had it, right? And they would always say, "Come on, Tony, let's go in the back." And they go in the back, we get what we call blazed up, and we come back out. And we go in there and do our job, whatever cars was working on or whatever it was. But we was high as hell. You know, but that's what it was like in my school, especially going to high school. All right? And I cannot paint a story where I said that it was bad, because it was. It was fun as heck, bro. It didn't get bad to me until after I left high school. But during high school and the times when I was hanging out at St. Agatha, probably one of the best places in my life. I thank God every day that I was in St. Agatha, right? I have nothing bad to say about St. Agatha. I have nothing bad about saying the counselors that was working there. You know, I had some bad experience with some of the kids, right? But I tell you that in other situations that are going on, because I had to protect my brothers and them, you know, because some of the kids in there was a little, you know, they were picking on kids, and I'm not talking about like they were trying to take their virginity from them, right? And that shit was like, excuse my mouth, that's the first time I let it slip out. I apologize, right? But when I think about that, man, that's like, that was a no-no, you know. I don't play that mess, you know. So, and especially I had two younger brothers there, and I wasn't gonna let nobody bother them, you know, like that. But Otherwise than that, man, all of my progression started at that time as my teenage years, right? And when I became an adult, I took those bad habits with me. That's why relationships never worked out. You know, that's how I knew how to lie real good. I mean, real good. I mean, so freaking to myself, not to them. Because, I mean, girls ain't stupid, bro. You understand? Girls feel more than we do. They feel. When a girl feels for you, she feels for you. Right? She's in tune with you. But our stupid knucklehead, myself, thinking that she don't know I'm cheating on her. She can't tell. Man, they smell it. They sense it. You'd be surprised at the senses that women have, or girls too. Right? And the sad part about it is that they get so distraught, man, when you hurt them, that they want to kill you. But they can't kill you because they love you. But they literally want to kill you because they gave you the best possession of themselves. Right? And for a guy, see, guys don't think like that. See, we don't think. We think we got so much to offer. It's not like I'm giving it the best to this person. But girls are like that. You got to understand that, man. That's why they are so special. You know, when a girl gives you her sex and she gives it to you, she gives it to you. She don't fake the funk. She's giving it to you. She's saying you're the one. And when you abuse that, man, oh, my God. Please, if you haven't experienced that, don't. It's not, that is nothing you want to experience, man. Do not mess with that, bro. That's not, because then the only thing you could either be considered, especially when I was a kid, you was a dog, right? And if you was a dog, man, you don't be labeled as a dog because the other girl's going to know that, right? Now, there's some girls that don't care. There are girls that don't care, right? And then there are some that do. I was always fortunate enough to get the ones that care, right? That's the problem. They cared more than I did, right? So I had to learn that, okay, if I'm not going to be responsible, I can't be telling these people that they're my girlfriends. So I had to learn that, you know, it is what it is. This is what we're doing. If you don't want to do it, fine, we ain't doing it. That's how real I had to keep it. Some went with the program, some didn't. That's what happens, you know. And plus, I got my own heart broke, you know. So that was rightfully so, because that's what happens when you do it to other people. It always, it's karma. It's going to come back to you eventually, all right? As I got older, I say like in my 20s, now, you know, I have to get a job. I got to be mature, right? I have to be responsible, right? So I did, you know, I always had a job. I always knew how to make money or go to work. I had no problem with that. I always knew how to carry myself in order to conduct myself in order to get a job, right? But I was still smoking herb, drinking beer, you know, beer at this time. Licking all that stuff, I really couldn't mess with. But beer was all right. Or then they had this thing called pink champagne. Maybe some of y'all can identify or remember that. They had this thing called pink champagne. I used to drink that a lot because it was like fruity, but it gets you high, right? But it was fruity. That used to work good. And then somebody came up to me, this white powder called cocaine, and said, you ever tried this? And you know my stupid behind. I said, nah. I said, a little one time or two times, and I tried it, and I loved it. Except it was just expensive, but I loved it. It's the same one where somebody asked me, said, hey, man, you ever smoked crack before? I said, hell no. And the way he said it. But let me tell you something, man. That thing right there, that bad boy took me on a freaking rocket ride, bro. That stuff was, that one time when I did it, it lit me up. I mean, it set me off, bro. You right? I had to get more. I had to have it. It was that good. It was so good, man, that it was more important to get that than anything else. And that's where things start to fall apart, right? And for me, that was the best thing to happen for me, that it started to fall apart, all right? Because one was never enough, and the hundreds of them was never satisfying, right? You had, that stuff would take you until you're broke. I remember going outside and seeing people carrying TVs, carrying television sets, selling their TV sets, selling their radio, selling whatever. And I used to sit back and say, yo, this stuff is crazy. And you know, people, they used to have lines, man. Like somebody was giving out free cheese. You know, I've watched people, you know, in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, on lines, literally being disrespected, but on a line. Because I was one of them, waiting for this place to open up so they could get their stuff, right? The progressive and the attitude that changed when they came out with crack cocaine was just unbelievable, man. Right? And it was a cheaper version. It wasn't like what the rich people used to do. The rich people used to call it freebase. For those of you, and I'm giving you an education about this now. That's what they used to call the real stuff. The poor stuff that only the poor people can afford was called crack. That's what they call crack. And if you think about why they call it crack, because it cracked people up, right? But freebase was for the rich people. That one, you know, you had to seriously have some money, right? But one story I'm going to tell you, and to the next, I could tell you 1,000 more, man. But I got the purpose of me sharing this with you is, like I said again, so if you never done it, don't. You don't ever want to do it, right? That's why I share my experience. But it's important that I give you this one story because it came to my head. So I find myself in a crack den, right? I'm in a crack den. I'm with a guy that I normally wouldn't be hanging with, right? And we're in this crack den. And the guy that's running the crack den couldn't speak English to save his freaking life. But he knows me. He knows me and he likes me because he know of me. But he could, every time, his English is so hard. I mean hard. But he would kill you as quick as you can fucking swallow. Excuse my mouth. That's how real and honest I'm getting you. He would kill you as quick as quick. All right? And I'm in there and he said, Papa, what are you doing here, Papa? You too good for this. What's wrong with you? Why you hang with these people? And I was like, oh, why you care, dude? Like, he goes, Papa, I don't like what I see, you know? And I said to him, I said, yo, my man, can we just get our stuff so we get the hell out of here? So what happened with the guy that I was with, his dumb behind, don't, he don't think I didn't tell me. He wants to try to rob this guy, right? So how he robbed him is that the guy, he was trying to give the guy back baby powder instead of the guy's cocaine. So he think the guy was that stupid. And the guy told me, I'll never forget this, it's for the rest of my life, and it's probably one thing that saved my life. He said, Papa, you can leave. And I advise you to leave right now because your friend ain't coming out. And all I did is I looked at him. I seen the door. He let me go out the door. I went out the door. I never looked back. I just kept on walking, right? I never seen that guy again. That's the easy. Now, at first, I chalked it up and said, maybe I was just lucky, right? Then I said, maybe I was just blessed, right? Whatever it was, it started to wake me up. That was my first initial time to tell me what I was doing is not going to work, right? Because it's starting to take me to people and places where I should have never been, right? If it wasn't for the fact of how I was carrying myself, what would a drug dealer give a F about me that he allowed? Because he just knew that that's not me, that I would not come there to try to rob him. I'm not built like, he knew it better than I did, because all I wanted to do is get high, right? That's why I went with the guy, because I didn't have nothing, and I went with him because he said he knew how to get something, but I didn't know he had that plot in his head. See what I'm saying? That's sick and cunning stuff, right? He had planned to rob this guy, and he knew, and I was just so freaking stupid that I followed him because all I cared about was getting high. That's what that freaking crack, the cocaine did to me, right? That was just one experience, and I have many, and that was one, but that was my first rude awakening. I never asked what happened to him, nor did I care. I never brought it up again. I never seen that other guy. I never seen neither of them again. Because when I kept walking, I did not step back. I didn't come back. That was my beginning to learn, right, that my progression was coming. And that's what I call progression, right? And I don't think I ever shared that story with anyone to today, right? And I know I haven't because of the way that I'm saying it. And one of the reasons why I say it like that, right, because that's how raw it was. And you think at the time when that happened, you thought I said that I was lucky, right? I knew there was a God. I knew somebody up there loved me, right? Because it got me out that predicament, right? Because once again, at that time, when I was getting high and doing my stuff, I assure you, them drug dealers didn't give a F of who you was. If you came in today with you was that stupid to come in there with another person, you deserve the same thing that person's going to get. I put it to you like that. And when I walked out and I seen the guy's face, I seen how white his face started to change. He was dark black, that he knew it was a wrap. In effect, because he let me go and he couldn't go. All right? So that story, try to feel and stick with that one. Right? That progression, this is why I say to keep an open mind. Or as you hear me share, you know. And it's important for me to get real like this because I want you guys to see where I came from or where I was at or the stuff that I've been through and the reason why I'm at today, to see how blessed I am. Oh, yes, I am grateful to God, right? I'm not going to sugarcoat it no more. I'm not going to play. I give it all to God. I know in my heart he took care of me in the steps when I couldn't take care of myself, right? That's all it is. That's all I'm saying. That's the road. I don't care who you are. I should have never been fighting this for years. It's, that's the point. And then for those of you that believe that you're so powerful and stuff like that, if you give your life up to the Lord and Savior, it will change. You will stop. The things you think, the way you are, all that's changed. But what happens is that some of us want to keep holding on, and we don't want to pay acknowledgement, right? Because we think we're that powerful. And you're going to find out that you're not. And you could be saving yourself from a lot of pain and a lot of hurt, right? Just the importance of why I share what I share. And I share so raw, right? And it's coming out to me more and more. And I keep telling you, as I keep speaking, I know it because I know I have something powerful to say. I've said it before. I've said it to other people. And it has helped their lives. The only difference is I never said it on a podcast. I never came out with it like this, right? That's the difference. But now I'm starting to understand my purpose more and more and why it's important for me to have my message be out, right? It's because I am a child of God and I've been reborn and I thank him every day for everything I have today, right? And my actions, okay? For those of you that still want to test the waters, you can always go back to your life, right? And for those of you that are starting to understand there's a better way of living, keep it simple and keep listening and keep applying. And little as you hear me, you know, I will help you guide your way to a better place, to a better way. That's all it is. This is no cult. This is life. This is real. I'm living in the real life like you are. All right. Once again, my name is Artis. You can catch me on Facebook, Spotify, YouTube, iHeartRadio, all right, and Podbean. And there's some other ones. All right, and we just keep coming. Please have a blessed day because that's the whole purpose of my story. All right, take care.